Building and maintaining friendships can be tough to do in normal times, but add a global pandemic to the mix and it can get even more difficult. That sounds like a familiar situation to you. Our next guest says you're not alone. He's got advice for how to have better, more meaningful friendships and ideas on how you can be a better friend to others. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do your close friends mean to you? What are some of the challenges you run into with keeping friendships, maintaining them? How has the pandemic changed friendships for you, if at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Adam Smiley Pozwalski is a millennial workplace expert and author. His latest book is called Friendship in the Age of Loneliness, An Optimist's Guide to Connection. Smiley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. It's great to be here.
Smiley, it's clear. I mean, your name is Smiley. You have lots of friends that you talk about in your book, but you say even you sometimes deal with loneliness and difficulty maintaining those friendships yourself. Can you talk about that a little?
Sure. So one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, I actually started writing it long before COVID in 2017. And I wanted to write to talk about the fact that sometimes extroverted people like myself, my nickname is Smiley. I'm a social person. I actually usually make a living by going around the world and speaking, obviously something I couldn't do during the pandemic. But even people that have lots of social connections sometimes experience loneliness. In fact, nearly two-thirds of Americans, including 70% of millennials and 80% of Gen Zers, are lonely. And that is data that is from before COVID-19. So that is actually from 2019, before we spent over a year socially isolating and in many cases in lockdown or quarantine. And I wanted to write about the fact and call attention to the fact that the science shows that social isolation is actually this, loneliness is, excuse me, social isolation is having few social connections, right? But loneliness involves the subjective perception of isolation. So Julianne Holt-Lundstedt says that it's the discrepancy between one's desired and actual level of social connection. So you can have lots of social connections like myself and still feel lonely, still feel that gap, still feel like something's missing. And I think a lot of people feel that, especially in the age of social media, when we have all these followers on Twitter or Facebook friends or Instagram followers. We may be connecting on a daily basis, maybe even a regular basis every, hour or so, but we're not actually seeing our friends, or we don't have that deep connection that we're really yearning for. So that was one of the impetuses behind writing this book, to say, hey, if you feel this way, you're not alone. My name's Smiley. I'm out there traveling. I meet people for a living. I feel this way too. Let's talk about it more. Let's normalize the fact that, hey, we know the data shows that 60% of Americans are lonely. I don't think we talk about it that much. Let's talk about the fact that we only spend 4% of our time with friends. 4%. That's not enough. And meanwhile, we're spending 50 minutes a day on Facebook, 50 minutes a day on Instagram. For young people especially, this is really hard. And we saw during the pandemic how much our social connections matter. And I'm glad we're talking about it more. So I think one silver lining, I hope, from what is otherwise quite obviously a very miserable year on many fronts, we're talking more about the importance of having deep social connections in our life.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Maybe this is just me. You tell me if it's just me or not. When I was a kid, I'd go knock on a neighbor kid's door. When I was in my teens and 20s, I'd call somebody and say, hey, do you want to hang out? Now, as a grown up, like, I don't want to, overstep my bounds. I don't want to interfere with somebody else's life. I don't know. There's like a reluctance for me, maybe other people, to spontaneously reach out to a friend. Am I the only one like that?
You're not the only one. In fact, the average American hasn't made a new friend in the last 5 years. So it's not just you, Rob. And I think, especially when we're kids, we're told, go make friends now. In fact, that's kind of the point of your existence as a kid. It's like, hey, it's recess. Go make a friend. Go play with someone. Go talk to someone. And, I think for many of us in college, we experienced that too. But once you get a little bit older, it becomes very difficult to do that. There's not actually a space where it's like, hey, everyone that's here is looking to make a new friend. And if you think about it for dating or going out, it's kind of, okay, there's apps for that. But it's a lot different for friendships and adult friendships. And especially as you move away from your friends or people have children and have families, it becomes a lot harder. So I think we need to be a little bit more intentional about our friendships as we get older. Friendships don't just happen. They require work. I have a chapter in my book that says invest in friendship. And I know that might sound silly. Oh, you think you have to invest in friendship like you would your financial situation or your career, but you do. You actually have to put it at the center of your life. You kind of have to say, okay, I'm looking to make new friends. Or even if you have a couple connections, I'm going to create rituals to go deeper with the friends I already have. I'm actually going to put this on the calendar. I'm actually going to create a correspondence habit. I'm going to write more letters. I'm going to create a monthly potluck where I invite people over. Stuff like that, where we're actually kind of saying, hey, you know, I need to think about this seriously, just like I do my work or other aspects of my life. Because otherwise, I think a lot of people get to a point in adulthood, whether it's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, where they're like, they look around and they say, I don't have a lot of friends, or I haven't seen my friends in a long time. And we know that actually one of the biggest indicators of having a healthy and happy life is the quality of our social relationships. In fact, Harvard did a study that found that the healthiest people at the age of 80 were the people that had the healthiest relationships at the age of 50. So having people that care about you and that you care about is one of the strongest indicators of health and happiness. Yet sometimes we don't actually live like we're valuing that, or we're actually investing in our friendships.
Talking to Adam Smiley Pozwalski. His new book is called Friendship in the Age of Loneliness, An Optimist's Guide to Connection. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to share your story about maybe a lifelong friend? How'd you meet? How'd you keep that friendship alive? Or a brand new friendship? How did you do it? How did you make a new friend, especially during COVID? Or maybe it was just before COVID. I don't know. Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Smiley, you mentioned one of the pieces of practical advice you gave, a ritual. And ritual, as you define in the book, doesn't have to be something fancy. Talk about the kind of things you mean by setting up some kind of regular thing with a friend or friends.
Sure. So I actually profile a friend in my book named Sahar, and he has this philosophy that's always go on a second date. You know, and it's similar to in dating. You know, if you meet someone, and assuming, you know, they're not really an awful person or someone that you think is going to hurt you, or someone that you don't feel safe with, or someone that you don't like talking to at all, invite them to hang out again, right? Because you always want to go deeper with someone. You always want to see if some magic's there. So he has this ritual where every time he meets someone interesting, he hands out a friendship card. So instead of a business card, he has a friendship card, and it says, let's be friends. And it has his phone number and his email. So it puts the onus on the person he's meeting to reach out. And then every month he has a recurring potluck where he invites all the people that he's met in the previous month to the potluck. So it's really simple. It's not too much work for him. People are bringing something to share, something to drink, something to eat. And then he gets to invite all the people he's met in the previous month. He invites his other friends, so maybe those people get to meet interesting folks too. And it's a simple recurring ritual that keeps it, you know, as he gets older, he finds that it's hard to meet new people. It says, hey, come to my potluck, right? It's like always going on a second date, which actually, you know, there's a psychological principle known as the mere exposure effect. The more you spend time with someone, the more you see them, the more likely you are to actually like them and enjoy their company. So I think having that simple kind of ritual of a monthly potluck, that whether it's Sahar doing it or you're doing it, and frankly, it doesn't have to be a potluck if you don't like potlucks. It can be a book club. It can be a cooking class. It can be doing a creative project. It can be a Monday night activity club. I write about some friends of mine in Washington when we lived in Washington, D.C., who had a Monday night activity club. Monday nights, once a month, we just got together and did a different activity. And every time we hung out, it was a different activity that someone in the group decided that they wanted to lead. It could have been yoga ball, soccer, capture the flag, board games, Dungeons and Dragons, poetry night, dance party, whatever it was. It just was very simple, but it was always on the calendar, always something to look forward to. And that recurring ritual, I think, leads to creating those regular heartbeats of connection that are a little bit different than just meeting someone once at a bar, meeting someone once at a party or a wedding, right? It's something on the calendar that we get to look forward to, which I think is really, really important, especially now. We need more moments of optimism, more things to look forward to, more chances of connection, because it's been a really long year.
Yeah. Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Manny is with us in Madison. Manny, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about Manny?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing, you know, I mean, friendship is definitely important, you know, and help with loneliness and everything. But one thing I think most, you know, people out here in the West and, you know, in America are missing in their life is a connection to a creator, you know, to back to, you know, that one creator who created you, connection to him, you know. So I think Islam really emphasizes that, you know, and, it, you know, like talking about, he was talking about rituals and everything, you know, just it has all these in there, you know, in Islam for you, you know, like they go and pray 5 times a day, you go meet people at the mosque, you know, you connect with the community. It emphasizes all of that. So I think that's what a lot of people are missing in their life is, you know, a connection to a creator.
Manny, thanks a lot for the call. And Smiley, you talk a little bit about this is one thing, a shared spiritual practice, a shared faith, or even the idea of a Sabbath together inspired by faith, even if you're not a member of a faith group. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for that. Thank you for that question, Manny, and bringing that up. I think spirituality is important, whether you consider yourself religious, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, atheist, whatever faith you belong to. I think having some sort of practice where you're coming together to appreciate life, to appreciate a higher power, to appreciate humanity, and expressing gratitude is really important. I talk about, I identify as Jewish. I talk about during the pandemic, creating a ritual that was a Zoom Shabbat for people to come together, most of whom who actually weren't Jewish, people of all faiths to come together on Friday night. For those that don't know, Shabbat is the Jewish Sabbath. Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, where people don't work or they don't turn on the lights and don't do a lot of work. I actually sometimes do work on Saturday, but I do consider it a time to reflect on the week that was and just to express gratitude. So all we did for that Zoom Shabbat, we got together on Zoom, we lit candles, and people said a prayer for people they were thinking about during COVID-19. So maybe people were saying prayers for an uncle who was sick, someone who had passed away, someone who was in the hospital, someone who was pregnant and nervous about going to the hospital during such a hard time, someone who had maybe just lost their job or someone that was moving. And we also said prayers for happy things, right? People that had just gotten a puppy or gotten a new job or written a book. So it was just this moment to come together at the end of the week and reflect and be together. I think that religion is really, when it's at its best, is bringing people together to celebrate life.
Thanks for that call, Manny. We're talking to Adam Smiley Pozwalski. His new book is Friendship in the Age of Loneliness, An Optimist Guide to Connection. You could join in with your friendship story or question if you need some advice, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll take more of your calls coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Adam Smiley Pozwalski about his new book, Friendship in the Age of Loneliness, An Optimist Guide to Connection. You can join in with your friendship questions, experiences, stories at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Julie is with us in Appleton. Julie, hi.
Well, hello there. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share very excitedly that I love your topic and to highlight that my girlfriend Michelle and I have been friends for 55 years this fall. Yeah, isn't that amazing? There are 5 of us that started kindergarten together. Michelle and I are 2 of the 5. And we try to get together once a year to just get caught up with everyone. Now, last year we didn't get to because of COVID, but we're going to try again this year. But we've all been friends since we've been 5. And so 55 years this fall, but Michelle and I are the closest of that group. So I just wanted to say thank you for letting me highlight my best friend and our time together.
I love it, Julie. Thanks a lot. And Smiley, I heard the intentionality that you were talking about earlier. They make sure to do at least that once a year get together. And that's why, part of why I'm imagining they're still friends after 55 years. What do you think?
Yeah, that ritual. You don't stay friends for 55 years without intention and effort and that investment. I mean, going on overnight adventures with friends, you know, I have a chapter in my book called that says go deep rather than wide. you know, I think oftentimes in our sometimes lonely world, we say, okay, we need more connections, more, more, more. Everything in life these days is about more. But maybe we actually have a few people and all we need to actually do is go deeper with them. So we might not need more connections. We maybe just need to do what Julie's doing, where we're going away, you know, once a year, or a couple times a year with a close group of friends and actually having that time where we lose track of time and cook together and play and go on hikes or a long drive or go on an adventure or see some place or something beautiful and just get to spend time with each other. And that's how we really sustain those relationships over the years.
Thanks for the call, Julie. Best to Michelle as well. Let's go now to Kayla in Milwaukee. Kayla, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to actually, my comment connects to a lot of what your guest was just saying about going deeper instead of wider. I was just thinking, like, in high school, the thing was, like, how many people can sign my yearbook? Like, how many friends can I say I have? And now, I really, as an adult, I really feel, like, quality versus quantity. I have, like, three really close friends, and that's, like, all I need. And that's what kind of keeps me sane in this very difficult time right now. I have one best friend, really best friend, and I think what really works for us, it's silly, but we have this ritual. We text each other every day.
Nice.
We haven't gone a day without texting in 3 years. And it's just like, even if just a quick, like, how are you today? It's like that touchstone that I know that I always have, no matter what.
I love the ritual, Kayla. Thanks for that. But I want to go to Smiley. That reminds me, you say somewhere in the book, something like emphasize depth and not breadth. The quality friendships Kayla mentioned, not the how many people can I get to sign my yearbook kind of friendship.
Yeah, and I think that this is something that became pretty illuminating during the pandemic. We couldn't simply maintain relationships with all of our friends or all of our acquaintances, right? Just because of the reality of the world we were living in. We were going to have to choose who we really had time, energy, and actually logistically could just simply keep track of. And we maybe lost track with some of those people that were weak ties or people that we saw, you know, once a year or that we saw every now and then at the office or when we were in a specific city, we weren't traveling. But on the positive side, we maybe went deeper with a few people that we said, okay, this person is really important to me. This is someone that I really value in my life. I'm going to text them every night before I go to bed. Why I'm grateful for them or to have keep that text chain going. I actually had a Zoom call with my buddies, my closest five friends from college. We usually see each other, you know, prior to the pandemic, once a year, once every couple of years at a wedding, at a bachelor party, something like that. We actually started a Zoom call and we were doing it every Wednesday evening for a while there at the early stages of the pandemic, once a week, because we actually wanted to see each other and check in such a hard time. And a buddy of mine that was on that call was an emergency room doctor working in New York City at Mount Sinai Hospital and Elmhurst Hospital, two of the hospitals hardest hit in New York and in the country. And we wanted to check in and be around each other more. So I actually think that maybe a silver lining from this experience was figuring out who a few of those people, those one, two, three, four friends that, hey, we're really going to be there for each other. We're going to show up for each other.
Thanks a lot for that call. And just our last couple minutes, Smiley, how about rekindling that old friendship? There's a quote from your book that I felt kind of seen by. You say, avoid the out-of-touch guilt spiral where I feel so bad for not getting in touch with that person that I feel bad if I reach out to them at this point. How can we overcome that and rekindle those old friendships?
And I actually think this is a perfect time to be talking about this because it's been a long year. It's been a hard year for friendships. So I think we can just have acceptance. First and foremost, we can accept friendships ebb and flow. If you haven't talked to someone in a while, it's kind of like you get the COVID pass. It's almost like we're resetting. It's 2021. Hey, I know we haven't spoken in a while. How are you? No one is going to be feel bad that they're hearing from you. So I think the most important thing is reach out. You don't have to wait for someone to reach out to you. You can make that effort, whether it's a letter, a text, a phone call. Reach out. Let someone know you're thinking about them. Even if you haven't been in touch for a while, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that you're expressing your love, your gratitude, that you're thinking of them. And that's really all that matters. And I think now's the perfect time to do it because I think we're meeting people where they are. We know it's been hard for everyone. You kind of get a pass. You weren't on top of everything during the past year. nobody was. So you, it's okay.
And very briefly, just in our last 30 seconds, is there a hunger right now for more friendship, more connection? Smiley.
I believe so. I am an optimist, but I believe that if the last year has taught us anything, it's that the power of social relationships, the power of community. We saw what we miss when we're not able to go into school and into work, to see people on a regular basis, to have those spontaneous run-ins, and how much we miss just the simple act of being able to go to a restaurant with our friends or go see live music with our friends, and that friendships now matter now more than ever. So I hope that 2021 is a year where we can safely get to spend more time with our friends, our families, and reemerge from this experience much stronger together and looking out for each other, both friends and strangers in our communities, because that's very, very important right now.
Thanks a lot for joining us today, Smiley. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. It's great to be here.
That's Adam Smiley Pasewalski. We've been talking about his new book, Friendship in the Age of Loneliness, An Optimist Guide to Connection. Share a shout out for a friend, old or new, on the Ideas Network Facebook page.